Good morning. Glad to be here again this morning with y'all. Go ahead and get this out because I know I'm going to need it. Before I get started, I just want to tell you off the bat, I won't take as long as I took last time I spoke. Really sorry about that. But this morning, I want to talk about, you guessed it, Memorial Day. But before we begin, would you pray with me, please? Father, I thank you so much for the time we have together this morning, and especially thank you for the freedom we have to worship you. Lord, I pray that as we have entered your house this morning, that we've removed anything in our hearts and minds that would cause us not to focus on you. I pray that today, as we think about the men and women who've paid the ultimate sacrifice for our country and remember everything you've done for our nation, that we ultimately honor you. I pray while we are here, we grow closer to you in knowledge of you and closer to your will for our lives. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, amen. All right, like Terry was saying, I'm glad to be here, and I hope you're glad to be here as well. Today is a special day in churches across this country. It's typically the day that we remember Memorial Day. And I want to talk about that, but maybe do it a little differently and tie it to the 77th Psalm. If you saw Carrie's email he sent out this week, or maybe you've read the 77th Psalm before, maybe you're wondering why I chose that, but stick with me and I hope to explain it. But first, what is Memorial Day? Memorial Day began as a day to remember Union soldiers after the Civil War. But after World War I, it became a day to remember all soldiers who died while in service to our country. And it's also become a time that we remember the families who've lost loved ones too. And I think the older you get, the more you think about those men and women who've paid that ultimate sacrifice. I, like you, I'm sure, love this country, and one of the reasons I love it is because of the sacrifice of our military. And I think that's one of the reasons our country is so special. There are many blessings that God has bestowed on me that I could count off, but I think my top four are my salvation, my family, my church family, and being born in the United States of America. I believe over the last 248 years, being born in this country is one of the greatest blessings any human being can claim. And I don't know of any other nation on the planet I'd rather have been born in than this one. Our nation has definitely had our problems and needed some hard correction at times, but over the last 248 years, this country has enjoyed freedoms the likes of which no human has ever experienced in the history of the world. And that freedom has come at a huge cost to many men and even some women who died in service in our armed forces and cost their families dearly as well. And just to put that cost in perspective, I want to show you how many have died in service to our country. I have this list of, it's broken down by conflict and is in order of highest number of deaths. First, the American Civil War. Lasted from 1861 to 1865, and 618,222 deaths. And that's broken down to 360,222 Union soldiers and 258,000 Confederates. World War II lasted from 1941 to 1945, and that cost us 291,557 deaths. World War I, 1917 to 1918, 53,402. The Vietnam War, and I had forgotten, or maybe I just didn't know, lasted from 1955 to 1975 and cost us 47,434 lives. The Korean War, 1950 to 1953, 33,686. The American Revolutionary War lasted from 1775 to 1783, 8,000 lives. And the Iraq War lasted from 2003 to 2011, 4,424 lives. War of 1812, makes sense, to 1815, 2,260 lives. And the war in Afghanistan, 2001 to 2021, 1,833 lives. And the Mexican-American War lasted 1846 to 1848 and cost 1,733 lives. Those numbers are hard to think about. That's over 73 years of conflict, and over 1 million lives given for our country. And that's a debt that is hard to swallow. You know, when we think about our economy and how healthy or unhealthy it is, one huge indicator is our growing national debt. And it's really out of control right now at just under $35 trillion. But when you think about the number of those who have died in service, I think we have another growing debt crisis, and it's the debt of sacrifice. And I'm wondering how we can ever pay it back. I'm going to be really honest and say that watching what's been happening to our country over the last decade or so has really made me wonder if this country is in its last days. And if it fails, what do we tell those people who paid the ultimate sacrifice? We always tell ourselves to pray for our country. Pray for our country. Well, I don't know about you, but I've been praying a lot. And I bet you have too. But what's changed? Seems like every day things get worse. I could go down a long list of things wrong in our country right now, but the list is too long to read. I'm sure, like all of you, I've spent many years worrying about what kind of country we're leaving our children. And I know we're not supposed to worry, but it's hard not to. As we continually pray for our country and watch things get worse, sometimes it could feel like God's not listening to our prayers, or maybe God's just decided he's done with his country. If you know history and you know that many strong nations have risen and fell, we're no different. And that history is a constant reminder that we could be next. And when I thought about today what to talk about on Memorial Day, I thought of Psalm 77. The 77th Psalm was written by Asaph. Asaph was a musician King David appointed for worship. Asaph wrote 12 Psalms in total, and while we don't know exactly why he wrote Psalm 77, we can look back at when it was written and maybe understand the context around it. Psalm 77 was written in 979 BC. Well, what's going on around that time? If you see on the slide, there's a list of events that kind of happened before and after Asaph wrote that psalm. In 995 BC, the capture of Rabbah. I think I'm saying that right. In 1 Chronicles 20, it talks about how David was at home at war and not with his army like kings should be. In 993 BC, David sins by sleeping with Bathsheba and then has her husband murdered to try and cover up his sin. 991 BC, Nathan rebukes David and he repents, but trouble begins. In 990 BC, David's son Amnon rapes his sister Tamar, and his other son Absalom kills Amnon, and Absalom has to flee for fear of David. In 980 BC, David's convinced to recall Absalom, but will not allow him to see him. And then in 979, somewhere around there, Asaph wrote several psalms, but one of them was the 77th psalm. 979 BC also, David forces a census, and God becomes angry with David, which causes a plague in the country. And then in 976 BC, Absalom conspires to replace David as king, and David must flee Jerusalem. And then in 972 BC, Absalom is killed by Joab. If you think about it, that sounds a lot like a recap of American politics over the last 20 years. But that sort of shows us maybe what Asaph was writing Psalm 77 about. It was in the middle of great turmoil in Jerusalem, and as well, we read Asaph was writing the psalm. And as we'll read, Asaph, while he was writing the psalm, it seems like he's crying out to God. And I think we're in the middle of some great turmoil in America. And where do we turn for help? So I want to read the psalm and talk about what it meant to them and how we can apply it to us today. So Psalm 77, verses 1 through 20 says, I cry aloud to God, and he will hear me. I sought the Lord in my day of trouble. My hands were continually lifted up all night long. I refused to be comforted. I think of God, I groan, I meditate, my spirit becomes weak. You have kept me from closing my eyes. I am troubled and cannot speak. I consider the days of old, years long past. At night, I remember my music. I meditate in my heart, and my spirit ponders. Will the Lord reject forever and never again show favor? Has his faithful love ceased forever? Is his promise at an end for all generations? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in anger withheld his compassion? So I say I am grieved that the right hand of the Most High has changed. I will remember the Lord's works. Yes, I will remember your ancient wonders. I will reflect on all you have done and meditate on your actions. God, your way is holy. What God is great like God? You are the God who works wonders. You revealed your strength among the peoples. With power, you redeemed your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. The water saw you, God. The water saw you. It trembled. Even the depths shook. The clouds poured down water. The storm clouds thundered. Your arrows flashed back and forth. The sound of your thunder was in the whirlwind. Lightning lit up the world. The earth shook and quaked. Your way went through the sea and your path through the vast water, but your footprints were unseen. You lead your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. This psalm is a prayer, but it's also a song. And the writer is crying out to God, and you can literally hear the pain in his voice as he's praying. Verses 1 through 2 say, I cry aloud to God, and he will hear me. And he sought the Lord in his day of trouble. My hands were continually lifted up all night long. Have you ever been so bothered by something that you couldn't sleep? And you prayed at night, not in the morning, not during the day, but in the middle of the night. Over the last 10 to 15 years, I've really been bothered by the direction our country is going, as well as many of you, I'm sure. You know, some say that the division in our country hasn't been greater since the Civil War. And when you think about it, and compare with other nations throughout history, it's not a far stretch to believe that this could be the end without some miracle from God. We know God has answered prayer before, so when we're facing things that seem insurmountable, we turn to the only one who can help. And then in verse 3, Asaph says, I think of God, I groan, I meditate, my spirit becomes weak. Asaph was facing something soul-crushing, and he prayed until he became weak. When you face huge problems, you tend to lack sleep. You lack of rest, and without any change, it makes you weak. When we are faced with big problems, we pray to God for him to change the situation. And if nothing changes, it can crush us. And then in verse 4 through 6 says, you have kept me from closing my eyes. I am troubled and cannot speak. I consider days of old, years long past. At night, I remember my music. I meditate in my heart and my spirit ponders. Sometimes our human minds can't see past how God can work through the big problems in our lives. And sometimes God allows us to go through situations to teach us to rely on Him. In verse 4, when he says, "You have kept me from closing my eyes," it's hard to imagine that sometimes God may keep you from rest to teach you to rely on Him. When God was finally about to lead the Israelites to the promised land, he reminded them that because of their rebellion, he allowed them to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. And Moses said in Deuteronomy 8, 2 through 3, it says, "Remember that the Lord your God led you on the entire journey these 40 years in the wilderness so that he might humble you and test you to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you by letting you go hungry. Then he gave you manna to eat, which you and your ancestors had not known, so that you might learn that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." God delayed his promise to the Israelites because they rebelled against his commands and they were punished, but he also wanted to teach them to trust him. And continuing on, Asaph says in verses 5 through 6, "I consider days of old, years long past. At night I remember my music. I meditate in my heart and my spirit ponders." Asaph remembered all that the Lord had done for him, his people. When we go through difficult times, don't we always look back and remember the good old days? When I was preparing this sermon, I resisted so much trying to get political in this sermon, but I will only say that when I think about our country today, it seems like our leadership on both sides is completely corrupt. And there's no one that appears to be leading with the Lord's direction in mind. I don't see anyone that truly appears to be leading from reliance on God. You might disagree with me, but that's just how I see it, and it saddens me. Thinking about all the good that our country has done, especially today, when we remember the ultimate sacrifice paid by our men and women who've died in service to our country, it's hard to watch the things we're doing now. I felt fine before I got up here. I really did. Bothers me. But we remember the times when we did do the right things. And we wait for those men to step forward again. But waiting can be hard. In verses 7 through 10, it says, "Will the Lord reject forever and never again show favor? Has his faithful love ceased forever? Is his promise at an end for all generations? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in his anger withheld his compassion? So I say, I am grieved that the right hand of the Most High has changed." Asaph wondered if God's favor was over for them. Going back to that timeline of events that were happening when this psalm was written, David's time as king was full of many challenges, and Asaph may have wondered when the chaos would stop. And we wonder, too, when our country will ever find peace again. Seems every day there's some new thing to argue about, some new controversy to divide us, and hate between us builds. But we can remember the times we came together. Asaph remembered when the Lord provided. In verses 11 through 15, he said, "I will remember the Lord's works. Yes, I will remember your ancient wonders. I will reflect on all you have done and meditate on your actions. God, your way is holy. What God is great like God. You are the God who works wonders. You revealed your strength among the peoples. With power, you redeemed your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. Asaph remembered when the Lord saved his people from the Egyptians and brought them out of slavery. He brought plagues on Egypt to make them release the Israelites. And God has delivered us many times too. I think about our first war for independence. We fought the best army in the world. There were many times during that war that when most people thought it was lost. We can remember World War II and how God provided us for us during one of the most trying times in the world. And I remember for a short time after 9/11 that we came together as a country to respond to pure evil. And all of our political leaders stood on the steps of the Capitol to sing God Bless America. Did any of you remember that? Can you imagine that happening today? I think they'd get on the steps of the Capitol to have a fight or something, but that seems like a lifetime ago to me. It seems like a time of crisis. It seems like times of crisis bring us together. And I wonder what new crisis will be required to bring us together again, if that's possible. Asaph continued and finished this psalm in verses 16 through 20, which say, "The water saw you, God. The water saw you. It trembled. Even the depths shook. The clouds poured down water. The storm clouds thundered. Your arrows flashed back and forth. The sound of your thunder was in the whirlwind. Lightning lit up the world. The earth shook and quaked. Your way went through the sea and your path through the vast water. But your footprints were unseen. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron." Asaph remembered how the Lord parted the Red Sea for the Israelites to escape the Egyptians. He said the Lord led his people like a flock to safety, and Asaph would remember this while he waited on the Lord to deliver them again. And just like the Israelites, we can pray that the Lord will deliver us. Many say that our way of life may soon be over, and Western influence on civilization, or what people mean by that when they say that is Judeo-Christian values, may soon be at an end in the world, or at least a dominant end. If you look at the United Kingdom right now, it appears that it's slowly being taken over by Muslim influence. During the COVID-19 pandemic a few years ago, Canada and Australia, two Western-influenced countries, appeared to almost turn into communist authoritarian states. And our country was close behind them. In many ways, we haven't fully recovered from that. Sometimes it can feel like dark forces are closing in around us and we'll inevitably be drawn back into another crisis. But we need to remember God has delivered us before. Asaph recalled the time when God brought his people through the Red Sea, but do you remember what happened right before they crossed? The Egyptians let the Israelites go, but soon after, they decided they'd made a mistake and pursued the Israelites. The Bible says Pharaoh took 600 of his best chariots and pursued the Israelites. In Exodus 14, 10 through 12, it says, "As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up. There were Egyptians coming after them. The Israelites were terrified and cried out to the Lord for help. They said to Moses, 'It is because there are no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness. What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Isn't this what we told you in Egypt? Leave us alone so that we may serve the Egyptians. It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness.'" When we face impossible odds, we could feel like giving up. Many times I've wondered, and maybe you've wondered too, if the sacrifices men made over the years are all for naught. But we have to remember what the Lord did for his people and what he's done for us as well. In the next verses, in verses 13 through 14, Moses told the Israelites, "But Moses said to the people, 'Don't be afraid. Stand firm and see the Lord's salvation that he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians you see today you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you must be quiet.'" I don't know what God has planned for us as a nation, but I'm praying we collectively return to him. In many ways, over the last few years, I've had to admit to myself that I've made being an American an idol. Sometimes I think we believe that God needs America to accomplish his will in the world, but actually it's the opposite. America needs God. And we have to learn to rely on him again, or we will be another nation only remembered in history. We need to pray every day that he's not done with us, and that as a nation we return to him. We need to understand that we need to return to God through his Son, Jesus Christ. If you don't have a relationship with him and know his Son, Jesus, as your Savior, you can change that today. Romans 3:23 says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." And this, my favorite Bible verse, Romans 5:8 says, "But God proves his own love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And then finally, Romans 10:9 says, "If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." And we know and are assured of salvation from Romans 10:13, which says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." We can't be sure of anything that is of the world, even the United States of America, but what we can be assured of is that we know we are a child of God and Jesus is our Savior. You can know that today if you choose him. Maybe you're here today and you're looking for a church to belong to, I can't recommend a better church than these people right here. So if you need to make a decision today, do it before you leave and before Mr. Wesley comes up to lead us in a hymn of invitation. Would you pray with me, please? Father, many things are uncertain in the world today, but we know one thing is certain, and that is we can rely on you. Today, we remember the lives of men who sacrificed for our country, but we also remember the sacrifice of your Son you made for us as well. I pray that anyone here that cannot rely on that, on Jesus as our Savior, would not leave here today without resolving that here and now. And if there is someone here who needs to lay something down at the altar, maybe they need to rededicate their life to you, or there's a burden they've been carrying and they need to give it over to you, I pray they would take this opportunity to do that now. I pray all of these things in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.